ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Satellite imagery has revealed damage to air defence radars at an Iranian military base following a suspected Israeli strike. The city of Isfahan is also home to one of the most sensitive sites in Iran's nuclear program. It's the latest in a series of tit-for-tat attacks since Israel is believed to have struck Iran's consulate in Syria. Dr. Trita Parsi is Executive Vice President of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft and advised the Obama White House on Iran and joins us this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
How have these strikes been covered by Iranian state media?
So the Iranian state media and the Iranian government as a whole have really played this down and essentially treated it as a non-attack. Earlier on, they had given these fierce statements saying that they would strike immediately and ferociously if the Israelis attacked Iranian soil. But now they're essentially treating it as if this didn't even qualify to be an attack. And as a result, any response from the Iranian is no longer warranted. By that, they have also essentially ended this escalation trap that both Iran and Israel found themselves in.
So why have they chosen to do that? Why have they chosen to downplay these strikes?
I think there's a couple of factors. First of all, the Iranians didn't want to have a direct confrontation with Israel in the first place. And the Israelis, by attacking the Iranian embassy or the consular section of the embassy in Damascus, triggered an escalation that caused what had otherwise been more of a shadow war between Iran and Israel to actually come out of the shadows. And then you saw the Iranian response, in which for the first time they struck directly at Israeli territory from Iranian territory. But they also did that in such a way to minimize the escalation risk. And I think the Israelis, under pressure from the Obama administration, went along with an effort that revealed their capability, but did it in such a way that it would be easy for the Iranians to essentially pretend as if they were not attacked at all. And as a result, the entire region is now drawing a sigh of relief because it would not be in the interest of the region or America for there to actually be an open warfare between Israel and Iran.
So is this an end, at least temporarily, to state attacks?
I think it is an end to this level of open hostility. It has done nothing to change the broader and the deeper geopolitical rivalry that exists between Iran and Israel, nor has it done anything to necessarily make a return to a shadow war unlikely. On the contrary, I think it will happen, and it will be more dangerous than it was before, because now we have an example of how it has gone out of the shadow war, out in the open, which probably will reduce the resistance for it to do so in the future as well. But I think the biggest change that we have now seen is that the Iranians do have the capability of striking Israel from their own territory. And even with the support of the United States, France, and the UK, and a 72-hour heads up, they nevertheless still managed to have seven of their ballistic missiles hit an Israeli base in Israel. So, you know, the fact that the Israelis could hit Iran was not a surprise to anyone who's followed this. That was clear. Seeing the Iranian capability essentially confirmed an understanding of what they might have, but wasn't entirely clear that they had that capability. So in that sense, I do think that the balance of deterrence between the two sides have shifted in a way that has not been to the benefit of Israel. And I suspect that some of the Israelis who argued for that strike against the Iranian consulate probably regret it now, because they're in a slightly less favorable position than they were before.
Well, that's interesting. Iran's proxies in the region, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the PMF in Iraq, the Houthis in Yemen, all offer options to escalate tensions further. So what are the chances of that happening, even if it's not state to state?
That risk, of course, is there, and it will continue to be there as long as the slaughter in Gaza continues. If there is a ceasefire, and if the Biden administration had seriously pushed for it much earlier, then I think the escalation risk involving the Houthis or the militias in Iraq and Syria would have reduced significantly. In fact, the only period we had a complete stop to the attacks by the Iraqi militias and the Houthis as well, was during the 6 days in which there was a ceasefire. Now, the U.S. has struck some of these entities and also managed to get a significant reduction of their attacks, but that is not going to be tenable if the fighting in Gaza continues. And one of the worrying signs right now is that there was also an attack, most likely by Israel, against one of the Iraqi militias 2 nights ago. And now they have started to strike Israel directly. It's going to be very problematic from an American standpoint if that Israeli action, if it was them who were behind it, which is most likely the case, if that then leads to the Iraqi militia starting again to target U.S. troops.
Just briefly, what's your analysis of how Israel has communicated with the United States about these strikes?
I think that the Israelis have, by no stretch of the imagination, acted as a good ally in all of this. The strike against the Damascus consulate was not conveyed to the United States until essentially it was happening, infuriating the Pentagon and the Biden administration. Now, of course, Biden has gone to great lengths never to have any open tensions with the Israelis. And I personally think that that has actually helped the Israelis feel that they can get away with far more than they should be able to get away with. So I think some firmer red lines by the United States is necessary, not just to be able to get to a ceasefire, but also to make sure that the Israelis are not taking actions that are by design escalatory and perhaps also by design intended to drag the United States into the war.
Many thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Twitter Parsi is Executive Vice President of the Quincy Institute and founder of the National Iranian American Council. You're listening to Breakfast.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.